Now.
Welcome, brothers. It's great to see everybody here. Just wanted to go over some preliminary stuff as we're getting started tonight. For those who don't spend a whole lot of time on Zoom, I just wanted to make you aware that you should be clicking on the Participants tab as well as the Chat tab. Participants tab will let you know who all is in the meeting tonight. It'll allow you to see your names and whatever they have displayed. For those in charge of their names, if you would like to edit your name so that it has a preferred name, initiating chapter, initiating year, and pronouns, all of those things are welcome and encouraged. In addition to that, keep the chat open so that as Ryan is presenting tonight, if there are questions or comments, I can serve as the intermediary. I'll keep the chat open on my screen as he shares his. With all of those things in mind, brothers, please join me in welcoming Brother Ryan Sukarmon. Ryan was initiated into the Beta Iota chapter in 2014 and held the offices of Treasurer, President, FEO, and ARO. He started his collegiate experience majoring in physics, but eventually settled for a music degree and graduated in May of 2018. He moved out to Ann Arbor, Michigan that same summer to work as a data management engineer with Toyota North America until January of 2022 when he joined
Raymond.
Riemann as a data analyst. He currently lives with his fiance, Nicole, and their two cats, Bear and Tux, and enjoys playing Elden Ring and playing with the Washtenaw Community College Band. The title of his presentation is Setting Boundaries: Maintaining Mental Health by Understanding Your Limits. Brothers, let's welcome Brother Ryan Sukarmon.
Thank you. Let me get this one up and running. So, setting boundaries to maintain health by understanding your limits. So, again, thank you, Dave, for the introduction. Just a quick experience board. So you can see the progression of where I've gone, LB in college,
Real quick, Ryan, I'm
Toyota.
going to interject there. You are
Oh,
not
yep.
currently sharing anything.
Oh, that's a bummer. Okay. Oh, because it's Zoom, you have to hit the share button a second time. All righty. Okay. Here we go. Trying it again. So, just again, this is the my experience board. Albion in college. I did spend a summer doing FERSCA, as it's known as Albion, a research internship during the summer. So I worked with 3D models, and that experience is really what got me into Toyota, doing data management engineer stuff, managing their daily database, all the vehicle components data that they have. But that led me to the opportunity to work at Raymond, which is a financial consulting group. And I am doing a lot of macros and just looking at making reporting efficient. So, a fun opportunity there. These are my cats. This is Tux and this is Bear. This is me with the town band, which is a subsection of the community band that I play with. I did a xylophone solo there. That's me with the British Eighth. And this is my fiance Nicole. So, and there's some information about, the ensembles that I was in, roles. Pretty big music guy, somehow got into data, and I like it. So, getting on to the meat of the presentation. There we go. What are boundaries? So when it comes to mental health, I guess in my own journey, this has been a revelation of thinking, what are boundaries even? I like to define it as kind of a definition of actions or words that we find acceptable. Generally, they line up with our character. It's you know they're it, it's what makes us who we are and what we care about. So I guess it, how often one question that I have to ask myself, but I want to the group is how often do you think about boundaries? Are you actively thinking, this action that this person's taking, is this within what I find acceptable? Is it not? I'm sure in the news we can see a lot of cases where it's like, oh man, that thing is not you know, that makes me uncomfortable, that makes me angry, you know, that would be outside of it. But, you know, how much are we doing that with our personal lives and our personal interactions with people? So, you know, is this a discussion that you're having regularly with your friends, families, partners, or even yourself? Because I know I, up until recently, I wasn't, you know, it was just, it was a word that you kind of heard growing up, but you didn't really think about. It was just something that you only heard, oh no, they're crossing the boundary, that's bad. But you never stopped to think, well, what are they crossing? You know? So there are six type of boundaries that I, at least I'll be discussing today. Emotional, time, material, intellectual, physical, and sexual. The last two I know for collegiate brothers, we get a lot, you know, as brothers, we get that training a lot. But the first four, especially the time and material, that was a shocker to learn. It's like, you know what, those are boundaries that we can have. So let's go through them and see, you know, think about it and learn about it. So, but first, before we do that, let's figure out, you know, let's understand why is it important to understand our personal boundaries and other people's boundaries. Well, the first off, it's having respect for yourself, knowing what you're worth and knowing what limitations you have for when you're fully productive and can be engaged versus when you're not, you know, because generally we tend to think of, you know, when people are encroaching on our boundaries or we're not comfortable, we're not outputting because we're busy being distressed or maybe we're tired. And so we don't, you know, we're not able to give back to the people around us when we're not our fullest. So setting, having boundaries is important to just knowing your worth and just knowing what makes you comfortable and keeps you at your best. Prevents burnout. I'm sure those of us that have been working remote can understand that it's really important to have boundaries in the workplace. I know that I have been fortunate enough to not have bosses encroach, but I know there's a lot of, you know, a lot of my coworkers tend to work really late into the night, or, you know, the blend from home activities to work really kind of don't go in, and that burns you out, you know, not having a clear line of when something starts and ends. Because then it's just all one big thing. Health issues, you know, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to get sick. I know when I was a collegiate brother, the only times I ever got sick was when I wasn't taking care of myself. I was busy trying to finish up homework, staying up late, just doing too much. And then I'd eventually get sick. And that's when I knew I have not taken care of myself. So, you know, we need to understand what our physical body, you know, can take. And again, increased performance, a healthy mind and body, we can create more music or just productivity in a work sense. So it's just a healthier lifestyle if we can keep ourselves in balance. So skipping that one. So emotional boundaries, what is it? It's the idea of respecting someone's feelings and thoughts on a subject. You know, I mean, this is kind of the first one of emotionals. Okay, emotions, it's a big word, but I like to think of it as, you know, we all feel a certain way about certain subjects, and in any given moment, we feel something, you know, we can feel tired, we can feel angry or happy. And so, being able to communicate that is really important. And I think that's how we can develop that. Cause I know in my personal life, I tend to be the kind of person that I'll just sit with my emotions. I don't know how, you know, I won't say it. I'll just be upset about it. I'll let it drag me down. But if I'm able to communicate it and say, you know what, this is what's bothering me, this is why I feel this way, maybe it's not rational, but that's okay. This is just how I feel right now. We can work on everything else later, but this is just how I feel. You know, being able to communicate that is really, I believe, the core of being able, the emotion part, is being able to express why we have a feeling or a thought about what's happening. So examples of setting this particular boundary can be, you know, this topic makes me uncomfortable. Can we discuss something else? You know, I don't know, in a group setting, you know, if there's topics that maybe trigger might trigger trauma, or is just generally, you know what, I am not comfortable talking about this subject. You know, you want the people around you to know, I can't engage in this conversation because I, you know, All I'm worried about is just being, I'm in distress by talking about this. So maybe let's move on. Or, you know, I'm overwhelmed at this moment. I need to take an extra moment before I respond so I can convey how I feel about this. This one is personal. This is something that I've been working on, trying to not just sit with it and wait for someone to come and try to ask, what's wrong? What is happening? Did I do something? It's like, no. You know, it might be an intense discussion and I want to get back to you, but you know, I need to sit with this real quick before I can get back to you. So it allows you to communicate, you know, I feel something, I don't know how to put it into words. I want to put it into words for you and I'll get there. So that way, you know, whoever you're talking to can understand, all right, they're not just ignoring me. They're not just shutting down. They're processing it. So that's a personal example for me anyway. So what happens, what does it look like when this boundary gets broken? It can be telling someone how they should feel about something. A lot of times it's the, oh, don't mind them. That's just how they are. You know, there's that person, you know, oh, that's just how they do things, or that's just what they do. You know, that's not, you know, that's a broken boundary, because, you know, we're just excusing bad behaviors that could be affecting a lot of people. I know, there's a person in the band that I play with, when they try to load up stuff, they can get very particular about things, but we go, well, that's just how it is. Nope, we shouldn't really excuse that, you know, because no, you're making us all uncomfortable. We want to help you, not, you know, but if you're snapping at us, we can't help you. And for those that are, you know, don't like being scared, oh, but being scared is part of the fun. Come on, join us, you know. You know, if they don't enjoy that, we, you know, we need to respect that if we're the ones that are like, oh, we do like that kind of thing, or like roller coasters. You know, so it's just understanding. We can always try to encourage, you know, for activities to try to get them along. But we do at some point understand, nope, they said no, we're just going to move on. And then another way this can get broken is dismissing or criticizing feelings, saying, oh, grow up, or don't be such a baby about it. Again, we're dismissing their feelings. We're basically saying your feelings are inconvenient to us. You know, don't tell us about it, because it's really breaking up what we have going on here. So, you know, I guess as individuals, we need to be cognitive of how we are receiving and, you know, other people's interpretations. So those are just some examples of how that looks. So time boundaries. This one is very dear to me. So what is it? It's respecting an individual's schedule. And it can be the idea of how full is your schedule, but also more importantly, do we have the energy for that activity? It's very easy, I know, especially at a collegiate level, to just start signing up for everything and trying to do everything. I was guilty at this, I think I did 5 bands, 2 fraternities, and then I had to squeeze in homework and practicing in there. It became a lot, you know, a lot of times, a lot of stuff took a backseat, or, you know, oh, can't do that, missed deliveries. So understanding what your schedule is, and, you know, do you even have the energy to do it? Like, even if you had all the hours in the day to do something, are you going to have the energy to do it right? Or are you just going to keep going around and around trying to make it happen, and, you know, you just don't have the capacity to do it? So what does it look like to set this boundary, right? My schedule is full right now. Circle back with me in X days, weeks, or months when my schedule is a little lighter. This is a 2-for-1, actually. I actually had to use this personally in my music career to say, hey, I can't do it right now. I know that between all the evening activities I have, the other bands that I'm in, and then the time spending with my fiance, I'm just not going to have time to go out and practice for this piece that you want me to practice for. So I need this time in the summer to I can't practice that piece. But if you ask me again later, I'm willing to come back. And the reason I say that this is a 2-for-1, because you're given the, you know, when you set this, you're telling the other person, I'm not just shoving this aside. I'm not just disregarding your request. I understand it's important, that you want to do this activity with me or you want me to participate. It's just that I know I can't help you now, but in this time frame, come back to me and I hope to be available. So it continues to, it keeps the conversation going. It doesn't just stop that roadblock. You know, it's not just a, oops, no, we're done here. We're not going to do it again. Invites conversation. So, and then another way is just, I'd love to come, but I'm going to need to leave after an hour. For those of us that like to go out and see people, but we have a limited social bar, I guess we can think of it that way. You know, if it's, I want to participate, but I only have enough energy for an hour. Okay. You know, you're letting the people know that you mean a lot to me. I do want to participate, but I'll need to go because I need to charge. Oh, so I'm looking at the chat. I like that. I don't have the spoons for that. Yeah, that's a good one. Very good term. I've heard that one before. So, and so what does it look like when this gets broken? It's contacting people when they're unavailable. For those of us working remotely, that could be getting an email with the plan for the next day, calling someone and requesting additional work. You know, that's not fair. You know, if your schedule, my schedule is 8 to 5, I wouldn't expect my boss to call me at 4:05 saying I need something done. That's not fair. But it's also knowing that even in the morning, when I was at Toyota, I had an engineer who, you know, they come in a little earlier. When I got there at 8, he'd be right there ready to ask a question. And while I was happy to answer the question, I hadn't gotten into my routine. So in a way, he was crossing my boundary because like, I'm not even ready to receive your question and help you as well as I could. So maybe maybe you're not receiving the best care or service that I could give you just because I haven't created the space to be ready for you yet. I haven't even gotten my coffee yet. Exactly. Yeah. Let me get my coffee. So, showing up to an event late, or not showing up at all. That's not considerate, you know, to the people that were planning, to have you there, you know, because basically if you show up late or don't show up at all, you're basically saying, you know what, the fact that you told me 7, I don't care, you know, your time is not as valuable as my time is, so I'll show up when I need to. That's not fair. You know, if you're going to, you know, if being late or, you know, being getting there is a problem, you know, we can just let them know. It's like, hey, I want to know. And then you try to make that up a little bit, maybe staying a little longer, or if it's, you know, you're helping set up for an event. If you get there late, maybe you stay a little later and let those people that got there early head out. So that way they can, have that energy. So that way you can say, I appreciate your time. I apologize for being late. And then failing to deliver if we overbook ourselves, you know, this happened to me usually with my homework, if we're signing up for so much and we don't understand, you know, we're too full. Sometimes it can get easy to get into a pattern of, oops, I let the ball drop on that one. I'm just going to let that go. I'm very guilty of just waiting until it comes full crashing on my head. But it's like, well, I know something's going to drop. Something's going to be fail catastrophically. Which one of them is it going to be? No, if we take the time to stop and say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to complete this. I have to find someone to help me. Just asking for help, you know, because really that's also locking people out if we're just waiting for things to fail because we're overbooked. Being able to let go of some of the tasks to say, I can't do this right now. Can you help me move it along or get me moving in the right direction? You know, that's a way to set boundaries or involve it. But again, the breaking of it would be to failing to deliver. So, because we're overbooked. So the next one will be material boundaries. This is one, what it is, it's respecting an individual's material belongings. You know, when we buy, you know, owning stuff is, ownership is a weird, you know, concept that we, you know, that has a deep philosophical discussions for later. But in the context of just, you know, we can think of it as our willingness to share what we have with others. And, you know, what items are really just for us? Because I don't know about you, but as a percussionist, it's really easy to go, oh, I forgot my bags. And you go to the studio and say, oh, there's so-and-so's practice bag. I'm just going to borrow these for a little bit. I'm only in here for half an hour. That's not fair. You know, that's, you know, I'm crossing a boundary by doing that. So to take a step back, you know, what, how do we set this boundary of saying, you know, this, these are my items that I'm willing to share versus not, you know, with a personal instrument. Hey, you know what? This is mine. I prefer that I'm the only one using it. You know, for those with very expensive instruments. Yeah. You know, if anything, if it's damaged and, you know, are you going to make them liable for it? They should be, but you know, not always. It was like, oops, it broke. No, you know, so it's okay to say, nope, this is for my use only. It's not that I don't care to share it. It's just that this is important enough to me. I value this enough that I should be the one owning it. Like our phones, you know, phones is another great example. Because with my phone, you know, I'll just toss it on the couch. But with my fiance's, nope, I'm picking it up and sitting it down because I understand that's not mine. I'm not going to treat it the same way as her phone as I would mine. So, and then another way is you can borrow this item for a week, but I need it back by Thursday at 5. You know, because I'm sure a lot of us are willing to share lighter things, you know, those with large vehicles. I'm sure it's like, oh yeah, you can borrow my car. You know, we can move this thing for you because I have the space for it. But being able to set the clear definition of what it needs to return is a really important extra step that we can take, only because, you know, if people start getting in the habit of just being able to loan it, you know, when you need it, it's really about the idea of, when, you know, if you own it, you should have first priority to it. So being able to define, you know what, okay, I'm using it now, you know, so I need to be able to have that item back, you know, cause I was reading a Reddit post, a lady has a van with a wheelchair, set up in it to help her mother. But she's only there a couple of months out of the year and the neighbors have a child in a wheelchair. So she generously let the neighbors use the vehicle. But then there came a disagreement about the neighbors thought, well, we need to use the vehicle during this time. We want the car. And the writer of the post said, well, no, my mother's in town. I need to use it. You know, it is my vehicle. So they got into a giant disagreement and it's because it wasn't really clearly defined when, you know, I needed to use it, you know? So those are some examples of setting material boundaries and just the idea of just kind of thinking who's, you know, when is it that I can use?
Question for you, Ryan. Yes. I posted this in the chat, but was that in Am I the Asshole kind of post on Reddit?
It sure was. Yes. A great place.
It sounded like it. Yeah.
Yep. Am I the Asshole and relationship advice. Those are great places if you're thinking about boundaries. I'll give a quick speech. If you use Reddit, great subs to kind of read about places where you see broken boundaries everywhere. It's a great spot to start your journey of, well, what is a boundary, right? Great place because you see examples, prime examples of it going very poorly. So, but yeah, it was exactly from that, yeah, subreddit. And so what's it breaking? Again, there's that moment of, you know, monopolizing an item. There you go. Yes, Reddit is, can be a dumpster fire. So, examples of this breaking is borrowing without asking. I use that example as a percussionist, using items, you know, sticks and practice materials without asking people, even if it's just for a moment, right? It's like, oh, there's no way this is gonna get hurt, broken. Well, if you do break it without using it, you know, that is a massive, you know, broken their trust. Cause it's like, you know, I trusted that you weren't going to touch my stuff, but then you broke it. That's a, you know, big red flag. So even if it's, we think, oh, it's not that big, maybe it could be big. So we need to be cognitive when we're borrowing things and making sure is this really a communal item or is it an individual item that I really should ask permission for? And that goes straight into, you know, breaking someone's possession when we weren't given permission to use it. Because then we're completely liable for it. We've completely broken the trust and we pretty much have stolen their item and broken it, you know? So we need to be liable for that. But some, you know, there you hear prime example of people saying, well, no, it's not mine. So I'm not going to fix it. It's not how that works, not how it should work. But then there's also monopolizing time with a communal item. You know, if something is up for grab, you know, is shared, we need to be cognitive that we're sharing that space. We're not just taking it. I was in a meeting Thursday. A group of people said, hey, you know, the team I was working with had the room reserved for the whole morning, but they said, another team said, oh, we just need it for a little bit. We need to do a presentation. Okay. We're thinking half an hour, the whole morning. We never even got into the room that we were supposed to. And it's like, we had reserved the room, but apparently your meeting was so important that you should have reserved it if you needed the room, you know? So that was a case where it just, you know, increases tensions when you don't really need to. So the next boundary is the intellectual one. This is kind of, it's interesting. So respecting an individual's thoughts and ideas, very similar to emotional boundary, except this really takes into the idea of how, I like to think of it as, how do people think and do things, and how do we, you know, see their abilities to do actions. You know, are we expecting more or less from them? You know, are we belittling people's characters or ideas? I mean, it's really easy to go, oh, you know, oh, you're so silly, or oh, that was kind of a stupid moment, huh? But, you know, that could be crossing a boundary, you know, because maybe they're very sensitive about their knowledge on that specific topic or how they do things. Because some, you know, people can be very particular. I know me personally, I like to do folding or cooking. I have a very, very particular way about doing it. My fiance has a different idea about how that works. And sometimes, even though we're joking or we're thinking, oh man, no, do it this way, it's like, I can do it. I'm not dumb. It's just, I do it a different way. It might be longer and it might be harder than the way you do it, but this is the way I'm comfortable with. So it's really about people's ideas on how they do things. And a nugget for thought is, you know, how are you managing your expectations of other people? This is a boundary that's really easy for us to push our expectations of how things get done onto others. Are you expecting people to do things the same way you would? I know when I was a chapter president, this is probably the biggest thing that I wish I could redo, is managing my expectations of people. Cause I was always saying, oh man, I wish we could get this done or that done, and this needs to get done. You know, and things would seem to fall through the cracks. It's like, I can't seem to get anything done. Well, a lot of it was only because I was trying to get things done the way I wanted to, not the way that other people could, because people are unique. They have their own ideas. And if we start pushing our ideas on, we're just asking for carbon copies of ourselves. And I'm not sure if we really want that. So we'll get down to breaking boundaries, but how do we set this boundary up? I know that my methods are not the same as yours, but this is the way I know how to do it. You know, let me do it this way, and when we can discuss after I finish how we could do it differently. You know, you're setting a clear example of, you know, I like to do it this way. This is the way that I would like to do it, but I'm open to other ideas. But please don't say that mine is wrong, or, you know, don't shut it down. Don't belittle it. You know, in my work, I'm trying to help a team with their videos. And I definitely cross this boundary where I have an idea of how it's supposed to go, and they have a way that it was set up and how they like to do it. And, you know, I wasn't cognitive of, oops, this is how they're doing it. I'm just stepping in thinking, well, my way is the best way. Nope. So I didn't take their process and their way of doing things into consideration. So I kind of jumped into breaking boundaries, but again, it just kind of sets it up to do it your way, but then be open to changing that method, you know, but understanding it, having an understanding of this is how I work. And I'm just starting to learn how to do this. So if there's any errors, please take note and walk me through how to do it correctly. I don't know if, for those that have trained other folks, or those that are in service, especially IT, kind of trying to get things solved, sometimes it can be frustrating thinking, how does someone not know how to do this basic skill? So before I get into that, let me back up and say, you know, by saying that, you're giving yourself space to say, you know, I'm very insecure. I'm currently insecure about how my knowledge of this. but I'm hoping that you, as the other person, can be can guide me do it so that if I when I do it again the next time, I'll be better at it. And so, you know, for those of us that, because I used to help guide people on how to do processes, sometimes it'd be frustrating to go, how come you don't know this, or how come you don't remember? Well, you have to take a step back and think they don't always do that. So being cognitive that people's knowledge base is not the same as ours is, again, expectations. We can't expect them to know that because they don't use it every day. So how is this, what are examples of breaking this boundary? Belittling someone, they make a mistake. You know, that is, we never want that. We never like to be on the receiving end of that. You know, we have to, again, think about people's experiences of, they might not know this. They might not know that there is a faster, easier way to do that. So let me just take a note of how they're doing it and then try to direct them in a way that can make it easier. And if they want to do it, that's great. If they don't, well, then they can, you know, as long as it's not incorrect, maybe they can do it the longer way if that makes more sense to them. And again, pushing your expectations on someone and not allowing them to do it their way. You know, this I think is in leadership, it's a big thing to note is got to let people do their things. You know, people are creative. They bring their flair to things, and you can always go back and say, okay, I like where you started. Let's add a couple of things. Let's adjust a few things, but it's still theirs. You know, if you give someone a task and let them build that base, it's still their product. They can be proud of that, and you can be proud of what they deliver afterwards. And because you can always collaborate and guide them to the, you know, to a direction that's a little closer to yours, but it's still at the root of it theirs. And we should note that this is not too confuse of excusing people when they don't deliver. If they deliver something that's, you know, just completely incorrect or just drop the ball and don't do it. Let's say, you know, you're trying to set up a 5K and they say, I forgot to talk to the city about getting roadblocks, so we don't have anywhere to run. Nope, that's just, they dropped the ball on that. There are consequences to actions, but we don't want to just assume, you know, if they come back and say, okay, the route's different than what we planned, but this is what, you know, talking with city officials, this is what they said. You know, we can't be, we shouldn't be mad that it's different. They brought a unique resolution to the table, you know, a unique spin on it. So yeah, don't confuse it with when folks drop the ball or, you know, make serious errors, but just understanding that results can vary based on your expectations. Yeah. Yeah. Helps set your expectations for employees in advance. That's great. Yeah. Just knowing where you can go. Cause collaboration is key. Physical boundaries. This is respect for someone's personal space, right? We get, pretty obvious, you know, touching someone, you don't want to just immediately grab people. Being confident in sharing your preferences, you know, this is something that I noticed, again, Thursday is, you know, I met a lot of new people in the office that I was at, and I shook someone's hand and they seemed, you know, weak grip. I was like, oh, that's a weak grip. But thinking about it, I'm going, she didn't really want to shake my hand. She was okay with just waving at me. I should have noticed that, right? So being comfortable saying, you know what, this is how much space I need to feel comfortable. You know, being able to say that. And we also need to be conscious of people's body language when we're speaking to them and, you know, how they are. Because I can give a personal example. I was cuddling with my fiance on the couch. As for some reason, I decided I can't do this. This is too much contact. And I said, hey, can you move over a little bit? I'm crowded at the moment. And so we, you know, she gave me some space and then we were right back to it a little bit later, you know, just moments later. So I guess in this regards, you know, physical boundaries, again, require consent, even with our partners who it's like, okay, yeah, we kind of have a standing agreement that, yeah, we can hold each other's hands most of the time, but we need to understand that it changes. And, you know, from moment to moment, it's never just a solid, yep, you get 6 feet or 3 feet or skin contact, you know, it's ever changing. And Yeah. So some examples of setting that is telling people, hey, I prefer to shake, to wave instead of shaking hands or hugging, you know, being able to say I'm crowded at the moment. Can you move over? Again, that's my example there. I'm a very ticklish. Please don't tickle me, you know. yes, the CDC says 6 feet at all times. But with, tickling, I guess, from a personal experience, you know, we think of our close friends like, oh, maybe that's something I can do, but not everyone likes that. You know, we definitely don't do that to strangers. Like, I'm going to tickle you. It's like, I've never met you in my life. Why are you touching me? But I guess what I really want to get out of this one is even with our, you know, if we have partners or close friends, we need to remember that physical boundaries can change. It's never guaranteed. As I'll say in the next slide, you know, consent is not guaranteed in any given moment. You know, it can constantly change. So breaking a boundary is obviously disregarding someone's request for more space. Sometimes it can be hard to move, like if we're in a crowded space and we can't really move. You know, it's like I can't give you more than just kind of a shoulder move, but I should do what I can, you know, doing what you can to give people space when they ask for it. Definitely don't want to invade someone's personal space. For those like handshaking or, you know, hugging, that can be an invasion. Even though we think, okay, you know, handshaking, we think of as very normal to when you meet somebody, but you know, that might be too much for people. So we need to be cognitive. Again, we have to be watching people's body language to say, you know, are they, you know, when I outreach my hand, do they look like they're going to take it? If they don't, okay, I'll take it back. And I don't need to force that interaction on them. Yep, there it is. Assuming past consent applies to the current moment. Nope. It's, again, ever changing. It's always something to be aware of and asking, especially for those that, you know, we may not see or, you know, be in their physical space all the time. And the last kind of boundary is the sexual boundaries. This is respect for person's body in a sexual manner. Just the golden rule of thumb, always ask for consent. It is, you know, never guaranteed. And, you know, especially, it's just never guaranteed. And drugs and alcohol does not valid, you know. They're not able to give it. That's what I should say, is they're not really able to give it. So always ask for consent. And how can we set this up? You know, clearly stating, I'm comfortable with A, B, and C, but not X, Y, or Z. That, you know, starting out with that clear indication of this is what we can do and not do. My fiance came back from a conference with a wonderful activity where it's thinking of it as a, here's what's okay, here's what are maybes, and here are just hard no's, right? And just understanding that the maybes can be discussed, but they can always flip to a hard no. Hard no's are just, this is the only time you bring it up, don't bring it up again. If you're trying to bring that up to go into the next little bit there, you know, if you try to bring up something that was on someone's hard no list, so trying to get them to participate in that act when they said no, you know, you're breaking that boundary because you're basically saying, I know that's a no for you, but I want it to be. That's not go. You're not respecting that person's boundaries at all when you're trying to do that. So, you know, and again, as I said, you know, consent is ever changing. It can change in the moment. So always asking for it, always being ready to stop if it's too much. If the plug gets pulled, that's it. So, and, you know, assuming past consent is still valid. Nope, never. So, that's what I have on that one. That we get a lot of training on that one. So, but you know, just the golden nugget, always ask for it and it's never given. It's not always assumed, never assume it. So how can we go about building our boundaries so that we can make space for ourselves to be in the best mental position as we can? Reflect. The first thing you can do is reflect on things that make you comfortable. These are things within your boundaries. And then think about things that make you uncomfortable, right? You know, for me, my fiance likes horror movies. I like them too, but I don't like gory. So I'm okay with horror movies, but it becomes gory. Nope, that's my line where it's like, I don't want to watch this. No, thank you. This is too much. You know, so thinking about what makes you feel good, comfortable and uncomfortable. This is where we can start to build the line as the starting point. And I think a great activity that you can do at home is to write down three boundaries of each of the types described earlier in the presentation. Because I know for me, I have to do this personally. Because, you know, it's just something that you don't think about, especially with time and emotional and intellectual. It's just, you know, at least for me, I feel at my growing up, it was just you heard about the word boundary, but you never stopped to think about it. No one ever stopped to tell you what it meant. So, you know, if you I think that's a great way to figure out, OK, what does it mean for me? Practice or write down phrases that you can use to convey those boundaries. You know, being comfortable having that conversation of this is what I need from you as the other person so that I can feel comfortable. And also understanding how you can ask people, what do you need from me so that you can be comfortable? And this goes right into consider how you would respond if someone breaks that boundary. You know, you can think of past instances where you do know that you had a boundary broken and you think, how did I respond and how should I have responded? If I wanted to set this example of, you know, you crossed a boundary, what do you, you know, this, what does that mean? What can you, you know, how can I help guide the other person to not have that happen again? And I just want to note that your responses should be calm, but always be steadfast and firm. If we're not steadfast and firm, people are going to walk on it because, you know, if they don't know what it is or if they think they can get away with it, they might try to cross that boundary more than once. So being firm and steadfast about it, that's how we build that boundary to make sure it's like, yep, this is what it is. It's not flexible. Once I set it in stone, it kind of stays there. Maybe it can move if I learn and grow as a person, but right now at this moment, no, it's rigid. So, and then reflecting on times that maybe you accidentally broke someone's boundary and decide and think about how you could have done that differently. Like for me, it was that, you know, the handshake. I should have noticed that, nope, she looked like she didn't want the handshake. So I should have waved. You know, what that telling me is I need to be more cognitive. I need to not just have the auto reflex of, yep, you shake people's hand. Nope, maybe that's not the norm. You know, that's, you know, maybe I shouldn't be pushing that on someone else. So those are just a kind of exercise that you can do to kind of build those boundaries. And some final thoughts for those that don't know, May is Mental Health Month. That's kind of what led this presentation is that, you know, being able to take care of ourselves and recognizing, yep, everyone's going through something, you know, how can we help each other? But to help each other, we do have to help ourselves first. So, and a key thing that I do want to note, because this presentation has been a lot of, you know, here's good and here's bad. Boundaries aren't processes, they're not lines to keep people out. They're actually boundaries, lines to keep, to allow people in. Because, you know, when we get hurt or we feel offended, when we feel negative, we tend to lock up and it's just, okay, I'm protecting myself. But if you have boundaries that, you know, people can help you make you feel comfortable, where you say, when you're in a good space, you can let people in, you let more people in. You let the right people in, I guess I should say. So think of it not as processes to keep people out, but really just to invite people in. Again, be firm with your boundaries. You know, people can cross boundaries without even knowing it. And this can turn into maybe they don't know. We never explicitly said, this makes me uncomfortable. Please don't do that. So, you know, if they don't know, maybe the first time is, oops, maybe you didn't know. I didn't explain it to you. I'm explaining it now. So if you cross it again, then we need to have another discussion about it. But we also have to be aware of patterns of people who are constantly trying to break our boundaries for their, maybe for their benefit or for whatever reason, and think maybe just discussing with them more isn't enough. In some cases, okay, maybe I need to cut this person out because they're really showing that they don't respect me, and they, you know, that's not okay. You know, again, it's having that respect for your worth, knowing what you're worth, knowing that you're a valuable individual. And finally, just being able to create space to discuss boundaries with those around you, you know, discuss with your friends, your family, and is chapter brothers. You know, I know we're, a lot of you are probably in summer break, but when you go back to the new school year, being able to, especially if, I think at a officer level, it's really helpful to understand what does everybody, how does everyone work? What are people's expectations for the year? And how do people receive information? How do they communicate? That way, you're not crossing boundaries, trying to get things done, but you can approach things the right way to say, okay, you know what? I need this from everybody. You know, how can we do that in a way that everyone can agree with? So, and the final last thought are some resources. I took these from my work sites, but there's Find Help if you need help with finance, food pantries, medical care. I think you type in your zip code and it gives up a ton of resources. So if you're in any need whatsoever, that's a great one. The National Alliance of Mental Health Illness has an article for navigating a mental health crisis. I can tell you that it's a good read. I wish I had read it before. I personally had an episode this month, I could say, and I wish I had the knowledge that was in there. So I would give that a read. If this is being shared, I can share this out so you can get these links. A resource for victims of sexual violence, mental text line. You can text home to the phone number there. I've also provided the website with more additional information, and then a website to the suicide prevention hotline. So just, I guess, a reminder that, you know, people are going through their struggles, reach out to people and help each other out. Setting boundaries, it gives us the tools to reach out, because once we define what ours are, we can understand how to safely approach other people about theirs and help them along in their journeys. So, because it's all about collaboration at the end of the day, especially as musicians and chapter brothers, as fraternity brothers. So with that, that is all I have. Does anyone have any questions, I guess?
Yeah, if there are questions, this would be a wonderful time to discuss.
So Ryan, you didn't mention it, but like I posted in chat, most companies will have an EAP, an employee assistance program, that they provide to the employees for mental issues or just quiet, anonymous help. And most of the time, it is truly anonymous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this, a lot of these resources come from my company's EAP resource panel. So it's definitely something to take benefit of if those resources are available to you. I know that I need to really go through it and dig through, because there's a lot of opportunities that I know I can, I personally need to take. So again, it's that ability to just understand, yep, we can go out and ask for help. That's the first part.
So Ryan, if you haven't already done so, I think that you should really get into contact with Dwayne Brzezak about this. He's part of the National Association of Social Workers, and there's a lot of stuff in here that just reminds me of the sort of thing that he would present on. So I think that he would probably take a lot out of this.
Yeah. I'll reach out to him. That didn't even cross my mind. So I'll definitely reach out to him and share this, and hopefully we can add to the resources there. Hopefully he'll know additional things we can put on these lines.
Absolutely. So I'm just going to give a quick quiz, and I want to see if we can get a couple responses out of everybody except for Ryan. While they're not actively on the screen, what are the six types of boundaries that there are?
You wanted us just to say them or?
Say them, type them into the chat, whatever you prefer.
Easy call.
Emotional.
Physical. Emotional. Time.
Material.
Sexual. How many is
I think that? The last one that we didn't hit was intellectual.
Did you say Maslow?
Oh, hey, Kevin.
Hi.
I didn't realize you had come into the meeting.
You jumped in way late.
Yeah, sorry, I'm late for the talk. Say Maslow? Is that what you said? The six, what did you say? I didn't see,
six, get the six types of boundaries.
Boundaries. Oh, okay.
It was fine. Just a little recap of the presentation that we just went through.
Got it. Yeah, thank you. I didn't hear that word, boundaries. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to agree with what Keith put into the chat. This would be a great presentation for chapter e-boards. And Ryan, if it's okay with you, I'd like to use some excerpts of this for the fall when we get together with all the chapter presidents.
Absolutely.
On a related note, would it be okay to share this PowerPoint with people in addition to the recording that we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I will clean it up right afterwards. There's a slide that I need to remove, so I will go ahead and clean it up a little bit and get that sent to you, Dave, so you can share that out to everybody.
That would be wonderful. Excellent. Well, can we do another little round of appreciation for Ryan for this wonderful presentation that he put together? It was delightful.
Thank you.
Excellent. Brother Angel, at this point, I think we're okay with the recording.
Recording is stopped.